Now, the 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life. Live, overlooking Champion Square with Ochsner. Here's Charles Hanegriff.
The dream season for LSU finishes the way it started and the way it went from beginning to end. Absolutely perfect. LSU wins the national championship by a score of 42-25 over Clemson in the Superdome, and the dream season is complete. Good evening, everybody. I'm Charles Hanegriff, along with former Tiger Richard Dixon. We are in the Ochsner Studios in the Benson Tower adjacent to the Superdome on a real magical night indeed for the LSU football program, for the LSU football family, for the head coach that was born in Louisiana and lived his dream all season long, and especially tonight, to the transplant quarterback from Ohio that, quite simply, there is no other word for than legendary. And the party has already started here in New Orleans. It will continue very, very late into the night. But the discussion of this team will last way longer than that. It'll last forever, because what we saw tonight was the greatest LSU football team since they started the program in 1893. We will have long discussions, long drawn-out discussions over whether this is the greatest college football team of all time. And there's ample evidence to confirm that as well. For Joe Burrow, another record-setting night. It seems like we could have put that on a sounder somewhere, Richard, that, again, this time it was season-long records that had been in place for a long time for touchdowns, passing, touchdowns, total yards. Jamar Chase, another record-setting night. He broke Josh Reed's record for yards in a season for an SEC receiver. And it was not easy. It was actually two very skilled, high-level football teams playing at a speed that is not often seen at the college game. And LSU took Clemson's best punches early. They struggled more offensively in the first quarter probably than any 15-minute stretch the entire year. But when they figured it out and when they exploded in that second quarter, they opened up the score, and it looked like they might turn the second half into a rout. But Clemson is a championship team, and they're 29-0 in the last 2 years leading tonight. For a reason. They came out, they got a stop, they got a touchdown, they pulled within three, and for a moment there, it looked like we might trade scores in the second half all the way to the end. But LSU again made the plays that they needed and put the issue to bed in the fourth quarter, and at the end, it was LSU that was clearly the better team tonight. An exciting game, a historic is the only word I can come up with win tonight for LSU.
No, the game was amazing. I mean, there was times that, like you said, give credit to Clemson. That defense came out, and they showed things that actually confused Joe for the first time I've seen really for that much of a period all year long. And I think that, you know, Venables did a great job really all game long. If you notice watching that game, the entire game we were looking over the sideline. We were making adjustments. I mean, we had to change. When we changed our offense, they changed their defense. I mean, it was really a chess match. And I would say that, you know, Clemson's defense won that first quarter and really the start of the second half. They came in and made a few more adjustments. They slowed us down, had a three and out or a short drive right there to open up the second half when I really thought we could put the game away. We scored right there at the end of the half. I thought if we came out and scored again, it was going to get ugly quick, but they made a good stop. And I just think those guys played well. I mean, they did so many different things I hadn't seen. They brought everything tonight. I think they blitzed just about the entire game. That number 47, the big turning point in the game for me was he gets ejected with the targeting call because he was coming on every down and he was making some plays. It was just Joe answered like he's done all year long.
LSU with some great individual performances. Burrow finishes with five touchdowns through the air and another one on the ground. I thought one of the biggest plays of the night came near the end of the second quarter. They're playing third and 10 from the 35-yard line of Clemson with 21 seconds to go, and they don't have any timeouts left.
Yeah.
And Burrow takes off and gets down to the 6-yard line, and they've still got time left to go to the end zone there, even without the timeouts, and he hits Thaddeus Moss for the touchdown. And I, like you, and I was watching the game with T-Bob and Matt, we all thought, hey, listen, you get that score. If you go out and you open the second half with a touchdown drive, you're going to take control of this. You're going to separate the score, and that's going to be that. And to Clemson's credit, they didn't let that happen to begin the second half.
The next drive. That, I mean, yeah, worst case scenario.
Right, absolutely. It's the exact opposite. But that scramble for 29 yards was a monster play at the end of the first
half. There's no doubt the QB's legs on both sides made a lot of big plays tonight. Joe, you know, had some key first downs. He stretched the ball. I mean, at one point he was leading the team in rushing. I don't know if he didn't finish that. But, man, he made that play. And what I thought was smart, he thought about cutting back in. But he stopped, and just they were going to go down, and, man, they just made so many smart plays. But even, you know, and I hate to say it as well as the win was tonight, we had some uncharacteristic plays, and we had more drops, I think, tonight than we've had in any game all year long. We've had the penalties. We had over 10 penalties for 116, 17 yards at one point. I mean, there was things that we were doing that were just uncharacteristic.
Very much so. I'll give you a couple more. Burrow threw tonight – a pass that he telegraphed, and I can't remember he's done that all year. It was dropped, and so LSU caught a little bit of a break there. But isn't that part of the other teams making you
– They did good.
That's a great team that they
Venables,
played.
What he did. I mean, I was sitting with nothing but former players. It was me, Stelz, Luke Sanders, Will Arnold. We were all sitting there watching, and, man, what they were doing. It's the first time I've seen Joe confused, and he was actually relying on the coaches in the press box. He was looking down. We snapped the ball under 8 seconds almost all night. I mean, it was things that, you know, Joe was having to wait on that play. They were switching. We would switch back. And then that's why you saw a couple times we had to call a timeout. We had to delay a game. I mean, we were taking it to the wire every time just because it was – both teams were so smart with what they were doing and changing every time someone made an adjustment.
Give me an example of one of the things that Oklahoma showed and then maybe changed up at the line of scrimmage.
They would come out cover zero, making it look like it's an all-out blitz, and then they were dropping everybody. I mean, he thought that he had the slant route, and then he was dropping linebackers and defensive linemen into throwing alleys. There was other times that they were showing coverage they were with three man down, but then they were blitzing two linebackers. It really was like a five-man front. They just did a few different things that, you know, Joe's seen this year, but I think they just did a really good job disguising it.
Brent Venables is one of the top coordinators in all of football. He did all of those things you just talked about, forced some penalties, forced some confusion, forced some timeouts, forced even one bad throw. And even with all that, LSU put up 628 yards.
What you're seeing, and everybody better take a moment to realize what they just saw. You said it's probably the greatest – if it's not the greatest team, it's the greatest offense ever in college football. The way to put up yards, it seemed like after the seventh game of the season, every game we're breaking records, either career records or season records. We saw it all night long. Joe broke two more records tonight. It was just amazing.
It was perfect, and it was historic. Those are the words I keep coming back to. What we saw finish tonight, you and I, we've been doing it, and JV, you know, been here doing the post-game shows all year, and it was, you know, they started the season. It was, well, wow, this is great. Can they keep this up? Can they go to Texas? Boom, yeah. Can they keep it going? Can they beat Auburn? Can they beat Florida? Can you beat Alabama? Did all of those things. Well, but they got to finish it. Georgia, perfect, but they got to finish it. Oklahoma, but they got to finish it. Who, you know, they get the number one seed? Yes.
Tonight you get down fourth and three, and you don't kick the field goal. You finish it.
You
go for it, and you finished it to be perfect.
We're going to take some phone calls. We're going to go over to back to the Superdome. We'll see if we can find anybody. It's
pandemonium.
Chaotic over there. But we'll do what we can for you. We're going to take your phone calls. LSU is a national football champion tonight by a score of 42-25. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
LSU is a national football champion. A 15-0 season finished off tonight. 42-25 over the Clemson Tigers. You know, we're marveling at some of these. The numbers are starting to kind of digest them here a little bit. LSU is Clemson to 1 of 11 on third down tonight. 628 yards of total offense, with 463 yards through the air. All of that, okay, so 628 yards, Richard, and they had 118 yards in penalties.
Yeah.
LSU did tonight. They overcome a double-digit deal there. LSU did not turn the ball over. Clemson turned it over once. That was late. You know, pretty much the game had been decided at that point. But, no, you think about some of the things that could have gone differently if the interception's not dropped, if there's a, you know, there's a turnover at some point. They were backed up in the first quarter with lousy field position for the first three drives. You ever make a mistake? They never did.
Yeah.
They never made that mistake.
The field possession. I mean, it felt like we could not get a good starting field possession the start of the first quarter and second quarter.
They didn't start a drive outside their 25-yard line until the fourth drive of the game, by which point Clemson, had jumped out to that early lead. We are waiting on Ed Ogeron to go to the podium. The trophy presentation, all that is done. But we did get a chance to hear, we'll let you hear a little bit here of Dabo Swinney following his team's first loss in 30 games.
A lot of consistency on the field, but a lot of consistency off the field. And that's truly what, to me, flying and winning a national championship and opportunities. I mean, these are tough moments where you come up short. It's really more about, the relationships that you have. That's the true joy, just getting a chance to just come to work every day with such great people. I got a wonderful staff that's so loyal, so committed. And just a bunch of beautiful young men that lay it on the line. And again, we won 29 games in a row, and sooner or later you're gonna lose one. Certainly wasn't the one we wanted to lose, but I know how we'll respond. We'll get back to work, and you can't win two till you win one. So we'll get back to work and see if we can. You know, come back and have a great year next year and really just, try to achieve our goals. We got five simple goals and they don't change. This doesn't change our goals. The last goal we have is to win the closer, and we hit four out of our five. We didn't get that one done, but I'm just really proud of this group for how they competed. What they did on and off the field, and then these seniors, I'm just so thankful. I mean, truly, just God's grace to allow me to watch them develop over the last 4 and 5 years, to be with guys like Tanner. I'm just thankful for them. I'm thankful. And, no scoreboard changes that. You know, we all hurt. We're all disappointed, but we're not defined by that. These guys, they competed with all they had. Sometimes you come up short. Only one team can win, and the best team won tonight. That's just the bottom line. They were the better team tonight, and nothing you can do but tip your hat and get back to work.
Right here in the same section,
Coach Cliff Early, Sports Byline USA, Blab Sports. Over the last decade, you've tussled with some of the toughest teams, some of the best teams ever. 60 minutes with the LSU Tigers. Can you talk about the intensity of 60 minutes tussling them with them like you did tonight?
Yeah, well, they were an awesome team. I mean, again, it was I knew coming in it was going to be a game of a few plays, we just didn't string enough opportunities. You know, we had a little down the line screen that probably would have gone for a ways to tee critical third down we just didn't make some plays that were there that we usually make, some routine stuff. And when you're in a game like that, when you know that their offense this year was just special, and they did an amazing job. And they made some plays tonight that, I mean, you just got to tip your hat to them, because the ball was in the only place that their guy could catch it. I mean, we had great coverage, and that was championship football. and that's why they're the champions, because they made those type of plays, and that's what you got to do. But it was great. I mean, it was very competitive. I mean, our guys competed their tails off, and this will be a painful tape to watch, but it'll one that'll help us. It'll help us get back to work and build next year's team. I've been on both sides of it. We've played so many great teams. That Alabama team last year was a great team, but we were a great team, and we were a better team that night. But this team, what they accomplished is really special. Beat a great Ohio State team a couple weeks ago that I thought was really, really good. But tonight, this was LSU's night. And, I'm happy for their fans. I mean, this is a unique situation, to play a national championship game basically in your backyard. What a unique opportunity for them. And I thought the environment was amazing. It was a great environment, a great crowd, great energy all night from both fan bases. They earned it and did what they needed to do to win.
Coach, thank you very much.
You got it.
Said it in so many words there, Richard. When the emotions of all of this have subsided and they sit there and they're getting ready for spring ball and they pop this tape in before they start spring practice, I think they'll look at it and go, man, we did what we could.
Yeah.
I mean, we played hard. We played well. We missed some plays here and there. Nobody ever plays perfect, but you realize how good that group was on the other side?
No, there's no doubt. And, it's hard to say when you're looking at the numbers now. And the numbers don't do it justice how good of a game that was, really. And, me and you were talking. In the fourth quarter, people were still, you were anxious, you were nervous, because they had made plays on defense all night long. They got 5 sacks on Joe Burrow. And I think that's the most pressure he's been under. I think that's the most just confused someone's been able to get him. There were times where I thought Clemson could make plays, and when you got 2 receivers like they had, which our guys did an amazing job tonight, I thought there was a little ticky-tack on some of the pass interferences called tonight. But, to shut those guys down and hold those guys without a touchdown, they did amazing. And to make the big play where you hit Lawrence at the end to fumble and Stingley gets it, I could finally take a deep breath.
Yeah,
feel good.
It was a lot of like for me and you, and I watched that game together, the Alabama game, which is, okay, they're up 2 scores with a minute to go. It's done, right? Except, yeah.
I'm thinking about you this whole time because how nervous we got with the onside kicks. We have not been the best onside kick receiving team this year.
Thankfully, it didn't come down.
And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to have to do it twice, and I'm going to have a heart attack before it's
right,
over.
Right, right. Thankfully, it never came down to that. In the first half, LSU trailed for the first time since October.
Yeah.
The biggest deficit that they've had all season. You're not used to being in that situation. A lot like Clemson was against Ohio State. They had not been in a hole that hole was bigger than this one. They had never been in a hole that big, and they responded it just the same way LSU responded tonight. I agree with him that the crowd was great. Clemson brought a lot of
people.
At
best, 55-45?
I thought it was a little bit more than that, okay. But I was
sitting in the end zone, so I didn't get to see above me. I just saw the sea of orange out in front of me.
We were up quite high. I got a good bird's eye view. I would say it was in the 60-40, maybe a little bit better than 60-40, but Clemson filled up their allotment, and they handed out the shakers, and so the whole thing was orange. It made it look like a really, really just a block of guys. But no, LSU definitely had more people. And I would pick it a little bit better than 60-40 tonight. But they were loud, they were boisterous, and well, it was a special night in the Superdome. It was a special night in the Superdome. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got a lot more for you here as LSU caps off a 15-0 perfect historic season. 42-25 over Clemson. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Feels good. I don't know what else to say. I mean, there's been so many people that have come into this from
people that have helped me along my journey from Ohio, Louisiana, everywhere. And we couldn't have done it with a better group of guys. Not just football players, but great, great men that I just feel blessed to be a part of this.
Okay, we'll come down here to the front row.
Joe, Steve Moulton, ESPN Radio out of Huntsville, Alabama. That first pass to Moss that was called back, felt like it took some juice out of the offense, and then to finally get it back, what really kick-started that offense after that first penalty?
Yeah, that was, you know, we felt like if we had got that one, we would have been rolling on that first drive, and we would have kept rolling. And it did kind of take the wind out of our sails for a second, and defense stepped up all game until we started to get rolling. And, you know, we feel like you can't hold us down for forever. You know, I think we're too explosive. Our coaches are too good. Our players are too good. Our O-line is too good. And, you know, they had a great plan coming in. Like I said, Coach Venables is great at what he does, and it just took us a while to get it figured out.
Come over here, standing on our far left.
Hi, Joe. Mark Myers, AP Hi. Broadcasting. Heisman and then a national title in just a few short weeks. Tell me what kind of emotions are you feeling now?
Some pretty good emotions. This is special. This doesn't come around every year. You know, this is a special group of guys that really came together, and it's as close of a group that I've ever been around. This, I'm just so happy I was able to do it with Coach O, Patrick, and the rest of the guys in that locker room.
We're now going to move over to our far right that's standing.
Joe Wilson Alexander over here from The Advocate. You talked so much about this incredible season that you weren't reflecting yet, that you were going to do it when it was over. Is it starting to set in what you've accomplished?
Not yet. We're still celebrating. Give us a couple days. You know, we got tonight. We got the rest of this week. You know, we're going to enjoy this one. This, a lot of work was put into this that nobody ever saw. Saturdays, Sundays, 7 days a week for 12 months. This is special.
Going to go up on the TV riser on our far right.
Joe here in the back. Daniel Brown, KTBS out of Shreveport. 10-point game. Terrace Marshall catches that touchdown pass. His saying is meant to be. At that point, did that championship feel meant to be?
Now, Terrace, you know, he took him a while to get going, but he made the championship play. And I couldn't be happier for that guy. He's worked harder than anybody on this team. And he's worked on his craft for a long time. Five-star coming in, had some bumps in the road. And for him to make that play, I'm so happy for him and his family.
We're going to go back here in the back right-hand aisle.
Joe, Andrew Clay, KTC in Lafayette. You will be a hero in this state for decades. Can you grasp that?
Where are you? There you are. Sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah, you will be a hero in this state for decades. Can you grasp that magnitude?
No, I think, you know, this what we did tonight can't be taken away from us. I don't know about the whole hero thing, but I know this national championship will be remembered for a long time in Louisiana. To do it in New Orleans is even more special. And, you know, this is going to be remembered for a long time.
Stay on the right-hand side, third row.
Patrick, Billy Witz with the New York Times. A couple questions. What, at the end of both the latter part of the first half and the latter part of the second half, the defense really kind of buckled down. What can you kind of talk about what you did to get rolling? And then also, you know, if you can describe, I guess, at the point in the last couple of years where you felt like maybe it was Joe's team to a degree.
You know, at the end of the first half, Coach Arana sat us down, calmed us down, you know. We was really anxious being out there, so we just, you know, all gathered together, you know, just played team defense. And we always knew this was Joe's team from the day he came in. He was competing in sprints. So just for Joe to be that kind of person to come out on day one and try to give us the best that he can, we already knew it was his team.
Stay over in the same section, slightly further back.
Ed Danutzman from The Athletic. What did you think coming into the game about the potential of what a victory would mean, and how do you feel personally now?
You know, I talked to the team about the focus all week was just beat Clemson, not thinking the magnitude of, hey, we're going to win the national championship, what's going to happen, all that. So our focus was, and the guys just followed them, man. Our focus has been one game at a time, one day at a time. And our guys did a tremendous job. Now I think that, you know, this team is going to be mentioned as one of the greatest teams in college football history, 15-0. One of the greatest teams in LSU history, led by some of the greatest players. Give them all the credit. But, you know, that's for you guys to decide. We're national champs. We're 15-0. Whether we mention as one of the greatest teams or not, that doesn't matter to me. I think that we're going to get to work. We'll go to class on Wednesday. We'll start working on next year.
This will be our last question for the players.
Guys right here in the front. This will be for Ed and for Patrick. Matt Moscona, ESPN Baton Rouge. You forced Clemson into 9 punts. What worked so well, and did you think you could have that kind of success?
Yeah. I think the one thing is we stopped Payton. I thought our guys did a tremendous job of not letting him run the football on us. We knew Trevor was going to make some plays. They made some plays downfield. But you know what? I thought the coach around had a tremendous plan of getting pressure. We never panicked. And those 3 and outs and those punts were critical in the ballgame. I think this guy here, Patrick Queen, had a great game. And, you know, we had to tackle in space. Had great athletes in space. And this guy made some great tackles tonight.
Coach Aranda, you know, had a great game plan since day one when we started studying them, and we trusted him. We went to work on it, and just to be able to come into this game and be able to make those type of plays, I just want to give God the glory for it. And I just want to thank Coach O for believing in me and be able to play this position.
Joe and Patrick, thanks so much, and congratulations.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
We'll take questions for Coach now.
Take it easy on that cigar, boy.
We're going to start over here on our far left in the back.
There's so much talk about what this means for Louisiana, but for your small hometown on the Bayou, just no one really has even heard of it. What does it mean for that community to bring this for them?
You know, I remember growing up there, man, losing was an option. It was not an option, man. You had to win. They win in Benny basketball. You had to win in the backyard. The Cajun people took a lot of pride in who they were. LSU was big, obviously, watching Ronnie Estee and them play. So it's going to mean a lot to them. I mean, they're very prideful. It means a lot to everybody in the state of Louisiana. Everybody bled the purple and gold. I think it's a tremendous night for everybody.
As a reminder, please give us your name and affiliation. We'll stay in the same section right here in the back.
Coach, Bill Bender, Sporting News. 3rd and 10, late in the first half, you call a timeout, or there was 2 timeouts taken. Joe takes that draw down to the 6-yard line. Just talk about that call, or don't talk about it, I guess. You know, what went into that play call, and what did that show about Joe's toughness to make that play?
Well, we didn't want to have a penalty and go back to the 3rd and 15, and where the clock was about to run out. We didn't feel like we had the right play called. You know, Steve said, Coach, I need a timeout. So all I did was call a timeout. And then obviously Steve made the play, he made the call. Joe's going to take the ball in his hands. Some of those plays tonight were passes called that Joe ran. Some of the plays tonight were runs that Joe passed. And so just give the great players a chance to make opportunities, make plays, and he did it.
Stay over here in the second row on our left.
Jeff Nowak with The Advocate. You know, yesterday Joe got to meet Drew Brees, which was talked about for a while. You have a lot of guys with the New Orleans connections with Jamar and others. You know, did winning this in the Superdome, you know, talk about any of the added significance there. Do you think that kind of is more impactful? Because
I think it's magical. Really do. I think that when we saw that the national championship would be in the Superdome at the beginning of the year, we set our target on that, although we did not talk about it. And we felt that once we come in the Superdome, we come out victorious because of the home field advantage. It was great to have Drew Brees yesterday at practice. I spent 1 year with him. He and Joe are a lot alike in a lot of ways as far as their work ethic, as far as their leadership on the football team. I remember watching Drew Brees, his 7-on-7. He ran it, and it was the best 7-on-7 I ever saw, and there wasn't another coach out there. So Joe and he are a lot alike. I think that Drew Brees and his wife were great representations of the state of Louisiana. We're proud of him.
Let's go right here in the very front.
Coach, I was Steve Moulton, ESPN Radio out of Huntsville. And ultimately, what are you going to remember this season about of all going through the West, going through Texas, I mean, going through Oklahoma, now just this experience, what are you most going to remember this season for?
Yeah, I just think the character and the grit of this football team. Jack Marucci and Tommy Moffitt keeping us together, keeping us in shape. I felt like we could have played it for another month. We were not tired. This team was ready to go. They were enthusiastic. One team, one heartbeat, the character, the leadership, obviously led by Joe. We wouldn't be here without Joe Burrow. We know that. The hiring of Joe Brady and him, the way Steve Mims make it work together. The improvement of our defense after the Ole Miss game. I think that the defense took it upon themselves, the leaders took it upon themselves, and they knew. I think when we didn't talk about it, but we changed from first to second or something like that because of the defense. I think that was an advantage for us. Our guys took it on a chip on their shoulder, said, hey, man, wait a minute. It ain't going to be on us. So all those things combined. But this team was competitive. And you got to give Clemson some credit. Now, they're a good football team. Venables had a good plan. Great game.
We're going to stay in the same section, couple rows back.
Ed, Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports. Your career has had ups and downs, a lot of doubters, a lot of people never thought you'd be a national championship coach. I'm wondering two things. One, at any point during that, did you ever doubt that you could coach at this level and lead a team to this level? And what does your story say maybe to all the people out there whose careers don't just rocket ship to the top and go similar to you?
Yeah, you know, I remember not getting a job at USC, and I felt that I was ready to be a head coach. I felt that I had learned from my mistakes at Ole Miss. At that point in time, I wasn't. I remember sitting on the sofa in my house. I had a year to reflect. I remember watching SEC games, and you know what? I know I can compete with these guys, given the right place. I mean, you got to be the place like LSU and have great coaches and great players to win it. I don't think I could have been somewhere else, and we had the success that we had so fast. So I think it's a combination of being the right place at the right time. I think it's a perseverance, too. And, you know, man, you know, people are going to talk and all that, but you can't let it affect you. You got to. I use that as an internal motivation. People, you know, they tease me the way I talk, tease me the way I look. And when, you know, it's kind of funny, the things that I was doing at Ole Miss, I was ridiculed for. And now I punch myself in the jaw and everybody at LSU likes it. So it just depends where you're at, man. You know, it just, but it's been a great ride. I got to thank my family. And listen, man, I'm at the right place at the right time and a great school with a great coaching staff. I have all the resources that we need. I mean, you come to LSU, you just have to do it right and you're going to win.
Have time for just a couple more. We're going to start right here in the front.
Yeah, Ed, he kind of stole my question. Doug Mouton, WLTV in New Orleans. 2014, you're at Mandeville High School games as a parent in the stands. Yeah. 5 years later, you have delivered the greatest season in LSU history. Yeah. And I know you have said all year it's not about me, but have you let that, or will you let that sink in just for a minute, that arc from 5 years ago watching Parker play to today?
You know, I think, you know, God had a plan. I got to say it, man, it's not me. And all I did was follow the plan. And without him, I wouldn't be here. Without my family, I wouldn't be here. And I said, I'm thankful for Coach Miles for giving me a chance, man. He hired me at LSU. It's where I wanted to go. I knew I was going to coach. I didn't think this was going to happen. I didn't know. I thought, you know, when I didn't get the job at USC, I said, hey, you know, hey, you might be an assistant the rest of your life. I just love coaching. But everything fell into place. And we're just getting started, man. This is not the finish. I want to be here at LSU for a long time and win many a championships at LSU, and this is just the beginning.
Again, right down here in the very front.
Hey, Ed, Michael Cobble, WBRZ in Baton Rouge. Clyde seemed to be the key that got the engine going tonight. Just how critical has he been, not just to your season, but even tonight?
He's the heart of our team, man. He is tough. Again, he's 6'4", 270, and Clyde's going to take it upon himself. I'm glad he was healthy. Those runs he made at the end of the game were very critical. He's hard to tackle. He's got great balance. He has a great trunk. I don't know if he's leaving or not, but if he does, I think he's going to have a great career, and he's going to go down as one of the greatest Tigers ever.
Take our last question from the television riser in the back.
Shakira Martin from Lafayette. Coach O, you've talked all season about blocking out the noise, but when you reflect, what was it that made this team so different and inspired you guys to just finish the season strong?
Yeah, you know, I do believe the leadership, the character, the grit, they wanted to win. And they believe in our coaching staff. They believe in the work ethic. We started last January 17. We've been working for a year. all those things combined, and obviously we had a, I thought we had a great schedule this year. Playing Auburn and Florida at home really helped us. Having a great coaching staff, getting Joe Brady from the Saints, going to the spread. I think that, you know, when we didn't score many points with Biz Bingham, we talked about going to the spread. I thought that was critical, and then we got the right guy. We got the right quarterback to run it. You know, we had athletes and the receivers, the way they played. So a lot of things had to fall into place.
Coach, thank you very much, and congratulations.
Go Tigers.
Joe Burrow, Patrick Queen, all answering questions following LSU's 42-25 win over Clemson to give the Tigers the national championship for 2019 and finish off that perfect season. We'll come back with more incredible numbers from what was an incredible game and season. We'll do that when we come back, and your phone calls are about 15 minutes away here on this historic night for LSU. Tigers are the national champs. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
National championship is coming back to Baton Rouge as LSU wins it 42-25 tonight. I'm Charles Hanegraaff with Richard Dixon. Let's here's some more numbers as we, you know, again start to really digest this. First of all, LSU and Clemson are the only two teams to ever win 15 games in a season. That's in 120 seasons of college football. Now, they've changed the format, so I get that. This LSU did not score in their first three possessions. First time they haven't done that since the game against Alabama last year. Yeah. Okay, so they have – we know that they started to ratchet up the offense after that game last year. In the first quarter, they had 90 yards and 7 points, and a lot of that on one play. And they fell behind 10 points. That's, their largest deficit of the season. They were down 10 points for 81 seconds of game time. In the second quarter, 269 yards and 21 points. So they tripled their offensive output in the second half, in the second quarter from the first quarter. Remember that Clemson led the nation in scoring defense at 11.5 points per game. Last time Clemson allowed 28 points and a half was 2012, before they became Clemson as we know them now. No quarterback threw three touchdown passes in a game against Clemson this season. Burrow did that in the first half. You still with me on this? Okay. One of the greatest games ever for a college quarterback in a championship game was Vince Young, Texas against USC. Well, Joe Burrow joined Vince Young in the category of players with 250 passing yards, 50 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown in a national championship game. Burrow did it in a half. You still with me on some of these things? Jamar Chase, 162 yards. Let's see. Did I get that right? No, 221 yards on 9 catches and 2 touchdowns. In the first half, he had 162 yards and 2 touchdowns, 6 first downs for Burrow, and 2 touchdowns were on targets to Chase. He's the first player with 100 receiving yards and 2 receiving touchdowns in a half of a national title game since 2002. That was Miami's Andre Johnson. Chase also becomes the first SEC player with 20 receiving touchdowns in a season. Let me see what else I got. And Thaddeus Moss, 2 touchdown passes. You know what it's like for a tight end to catch 2 touchdown passes in a national championship game.
Yeah.
You talked to him before the game.
Yeah, I talked to him before the game. Yeah. And I was excited for him. I told him, I said, I had 2. I said, I'm hoping you get 4. You can go ahead and break all the tight end records in one season. But, man, he came up clutch.
Joe Burrow, a single-season record for touchdown passes and touchdowns responsible for. He tied and then broke Hawaii's Colt Brennan's record from 2006, 58 touchdowns and 63 touchdown passes, 63 touchdowns responsible for were the records he went by, both of those. He finished the game with 463 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's a college football national championship game record. 60 touchdown passes.
Are there any records 60 he didn't break?
He missed the completion percentage one by 0.3 of a point. It was about two passes, might have been three. He missed it by 0.3 of a point. That's about the only one. Ja'Marr Chase, most yards receiving in a BCS national championship game, in a national championship game since the BCS was instituted in 1998. He also broke Josh Reed's record for receiving yards in a season. Let me see. Where's your stat with who they beat? Pull that one up, because this one's for the team, and the teams that they beat. We went back and forth all year about top 10 teams. Were they top 10 when you played them? They were top 10 at the end of the season. We'll get the final polls tomorrow. This though is rankings aside. Who they beat?
It's crazy. And Cole Kublik tweeted out that LSU's opponents, they won the ACC, they won the Big 12. They won the SEC East. They won the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, the Texas Bowl. 7 of the teams they beat were ranked at the top 10 when they played them.
And that's going to be the argument for greatest team ever. That resume that you just did, all the individual records that I just read, plus the margin of victory, okay? You blew Oklahoma out. You blew Georgia out. And I would certainly not call this game a complete blowout at all. But you won it pretty significantly. The spread in this game actually went down to 4. You beat the spread by 4 times what it was.
Yeah.
Right about 4 times what it was when the final spread came out. And you went to Alabama and won there. And you went to Texas and won there. And you beat Auburn. And you beat Florida. You're going to have to convince me that there's a better resume out there.
I want to see the argument.
That's my argument. That's my argument for. Yeah. I'll save my argument against for sometime next July when we ain't got anything to talk about one day. But that's the argument for. We got to take a break. We're coming up with your phone calls here in about 10 minutes. LSU wins it 42-25. They are the national champs for 2019. This is Scoreboard Show 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
42-25, LSU brings home the national championship for 2019. Puts the cap on a perfect season in the Superdome. Richard Dixon here with me. We're going to go to your phone calls in just 499-9898 is the number. We'll put up that number. We'll go to that in our next segment. We turn this thing on to Eagle. You mentioned this at the top of the show, so why don't you expound on it a little bit before we start taking calls here. The different looks that Clemson threw at LSU, some of the problems that it gave them early and the adjustments they made. We gave the stat they tripled their offensive output in the second quarter from the first. So what did you see?
I mean, I just saw a variety of things. They had 3-man fronts, 4-man fronts, 5-man fronts. They lined up with 3-man fronts and brought 2 linebackers down. Isaiah Simmons would line up at middle linebacker. He was almost playing like a shallow safety. If you go back and look at it, they had 2 linebackers. 3 down, he was playing right behind the linebackers, and he was moving before the ball snapped. He either moved to like a rushed defensive end or outside linebacker. They were, you know, showing blitz and then backing off into different coverages. I think they held. And if you go back and watch this game, the amount of times that we snapped the ball with under 6 seconds on the play clock is because we were playing a chess match every time. We move, they move. And they were trying to bait us into things, and I think that they were successful holding looks that long and then, you know, really gambling and trusting their guys to play man coverage.
LSU was able to exploit some of that man coverage on Ja'Marr Chase. That seemed to be the direction they were.
When he finally realized what it was going, we were calling it, you know, in the end zone, because you could see he recognized that, you know, they were going to run cover 0, doing all out blitz, play man coverage on the outside with nobody over the top. And he trusts Ja'Marr Chase in a one-on-one anytime he can get it.
Some design runs for him tonight, too. Not the quarterback draw that he scored the touchdown on key third down at that point in the game. was the exact same play. I'm almost certain that they ran against Auburn.
Yeah.
That draw.
But it's one where he drops back. It looks like he's going to run a pass, and then you know he sneaks into the left side. If you notice, he baits him. He goes straight up the middle to kind of get him to close in, but he also knows he's got a blocker coming down to it.
Because the free safety, I thought we were sitting there. It's like, okay, are they going to run the QB draw here? The free safety was almost dead in the center of the field, and then he shaded a little bit.
That's why it takes those first two steps,
yeah,
trying to get him to move back over and then hit the seam.
So they were able early on to bottle Clyde up a little bit, but as the second half went on.
That defense is good.
That's a really good defense.
47, I can't think of his name right now for Clemson. He made a lot of plays. I want to say he blitzed 80% of the time he's on the field. He was a guy that they were going to run three-man fronts, and when I say that they got into five-man fronts, he was filling A gaps, filling B gaps. He was a guy that played really as a blitz linebacker the entire game.
47, that was Skoloski.
We looked it around, and when he got ejected, we're like, that's huge, because he was making a lot of plays. He not necessarily was going to record a lot of stats, but he was plugging a lot of gaps when he was coming in on blitzing from the linebacker position.
So we're seeing some of the Joe Burrow pictures. we're seeing he got himself a nice cigar. Seeing some of the pictures of back in Baton Rouge that the lines around the block to get national championship tickets. National t-shirts. Somebody asked in the huddle if this is the first time the number one seed has won the playoff. Yes, it is. So
add, a lot of firsts.
Add that to the list of all of the things in this game. It's one of those things you take a deep breath.
Yeah, until we got that fumble in the fourth quarter, I could finally breathe again.
I was where I exhaled was the offensive pass interference that brought the touchdown back.
Yeah.
I thought that was the one that, okay, that's it. They're not going to overcome that one.
I got a couple referee buddies I'm having a long conversation with tomorrow, because I did not agree with half the pass interference called tonight both ways.
Yeah.
And, that one I loved that it was offensive pass interference. It wasn't offensive pass interference. There was another one on the interception. Unless I got a bad view of it when Fulton got the interception, I saw maybe a hand on the back. But
okay, so we at the very end of that play, we saw nothing, okay?
Yeah.
Fulton was behind him, actually. But the receiver starts complaining from the very beginning, and Fulton didn't argue.
Yeah.
Now, Ogeron came out halfway to hash mark to argue, but Fulton really didn't say a word, and that led me to believe that maybe he knew he had grabbed him earlier in the route.
Been for that. I mean, there was pass interference. There was a couple calls. And I hope my buddy's listening to me, because we're going to have a long conversation about it. I just felt like they weren't letting the guys play as much tonight. There was a lot of calls, and it was just uncharacteristic. You haven't seen an LSU team with 11 penalties in a game in a while.
Early, it seemed like LSU was having a hard time getting some separation in that first quarter, but that also
– Another thing that made me nervous, and I don't know if it was games that LSU was playing on defense, but the DBs getting to these guys that looked like nobody's going to cover them. And they were scrambling at the last second to line up, and I'm just getting nervous the whole time.
499-9898 is the number to call. Take a break. We'll come back and turn this thing into Eagle 98.1 Game Day.